thank God and the Lord for these two wonderful women, Tanya and Jennifer. It's been a great time.
The Romans to the point that they crucified Christians and put them up on poles and burnt them as the light of the world, as candles. And in the midst of this great, great suffering, and I'm gonna deal with this matter of suffering. Suffering, as we suffer, God has purpose. God has purpose in our suffering. And it's interesting that when we look at the guarding, guidance, and growth of the believer, one of the things I don't think we really take note about is the package that God has given us. And I want to deal with that package in 1 Peter 1 and beginning at verse 3 to 5. And I'm going to be moving because Peter... And the history of Peter is that it is believed by tradition that they intentionally took Peter's wife and crucified her in front of Peter. And then they came to Peter, said, "You next." And Peter said, "I'm not worthy to die like my Savior. Turn me upside down." And then they crucified Peter. Let me stop, pause, and park. Get rid of this thought that the closer you get to Christ, the closer you get to Christ's purposes, that your life will be painless. We got this thing backwards, Jackie. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me." There are some pains we're going to go through just because we're trying to live right. Just the fact we're trying to live right. There was a time in my life I didn't even try to live right. I ain't had no problems. Biggest problem I was having was giving my clothes out to cleans by 7 o'clock. I ain't had no problems when I was in sin. And now it looks like, and you know, me and God had these little consultations. Now it looks like I'm trying to do right. All hell be breaking out. Do I have a witness? And listen to Pastor, because when I'm dealing with this scripture, beware when all men speak well of you. Now, the reason Jesus said that is because if everybody is fine with you, you're compromising. You're living a double life, or you're speaking out both sides of your mouth. That Jesus said, they will hate you for my name's sake. If I'm Lord and they called me Beelzebub, what are they going to call you? So there's a degree. Now, everybody ought not hate you, but they're, if they do, you got other problems. But my point is, this matter of the package in 1 Peter chapter 1 is, these are ingredients, amen, that God has added so that while we are going through, there's an internal unseen protection device that God has already worked out. And you know, we always say no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. Do I get discouraged? Yes. Do I feel like throwing a towel in? Yes. Am I confused and confounded? Yes. We wonder why the tests when we try to do our best. So one of the things that we want to look at tonight, as Peter identifies himself in chapter 1, verse 1, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, one sent, one commissioned to the strangers who are scattered. That word scattered is diasporia in the Greek, meaning that these Jews were run throughout the different regions of the world, and they are going through intense suffering. And so what Peter begins to do, he talks about they are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace. Let me tell you why they're suffering. Look at the word peace. Peace be multiplied. We need a multiplication of peace because of the trials we find ourselves going through. Yeah. Christianity has been compromised. All this evangelicalism and all this people who claim that, no, it's been compromised. When you look at Revelation 2 and 3, out of the seven churches, there's only two churches that are faithful. Smyrna is Olive Press, and Philadelphia, brotherly love. All the other churches have bellied up. Ephesus lost their first love. They were doing a lot of work, but they lost their first love. They weren't really doing things for the right reasons. And Thyatira was decked out like the world. Pergamos, the word Pergamos comes from the word Pergamos comes from the word marriage. They were married to the world. And it goes on and on, Sardis. And so all these other churches were in a compromising state. So one of the things I want you to see tonight is that we want to pay close attention to the word package, the package in which God has given us. Jesus said in Matthew 10 to the apostles, to the disciples, I'm sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. In other words, expect conflict, expect friction, expect things to just belly up out of nowhere, because that's the nature of evil or darkness to light. Do I have a witness? That's the nature of what's going on. And so when you begin to look at verse 3, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now be careful with this, because Paul is dealing with being preserved by God's power. And this word preserve has at least 4 to 5 different meanings in the Greek that deal with, and it's interesting, to be preserved. When we put preservatives in food, what are we trying to do? Huh? Oh, that's right, y'all don't cook. It is to help them last longer, right? God preserves, and the word keep, God keeps us. We are kept by the power of God, and God guards us, and God saves us. So one of the things that Peter begins to enlighten us about is this matter of the package. The package that you and I don't see and don't feel, in spite of all of the outward stuff that's coming in, whether it's family, marriage, children, health, money, whatever. God says, in spite of all the attacks we're going under, I have given you an internal package that's going to hold your head above water. No weapon. Satan can't bring you down. Can I get a witness? Your trials will never overtake you. I'm preaching already. We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. Perplexed, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. God says, I have given every born-again believer a package that's going to hold them intact. Even when you think you've lost it, even when you think you can't go another night, even when you think you can't go another day, God says, you really don't have anything to do with this. I've given you a package. I gave you a package that will sustain you. It will sustain you. And so what Peter begins to do is give us this security package. Amen. And he says, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that word Father to Jesus is interesting, because the Father is in a unique position with Jesus. We have a covenantal relationship with Jesus according to his abundant mercy, and God has given us a mercy, Lord have mercy, amen. He's given us a mercy that as we go through, he keeps yanking us out. Thank you, Jesus. Every time I go down, I'm not down too long. The Lord pulls me out. Every time I think I'm getting ready to lose it, the Lord manages to sustain me. Every time I feel like throwing a towel in, the Lord says, no, you're not throwing a towel in. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. And so we got to keep depending on the package that God engineered inside of us. That he talked about is abundant mercy. Amen. Abundant mercy. The reason why God provided this mercy is so, even though we're wretched and we're pitiful. I love to run into Christians that don't like talking about themselves. The reason I love running into them so I can talk about them. We are wretched. We are messed up. And when you refuse to see yourself, God gonna show it to you. Son of man, can these bones live? They are wretched bones. They are dry bones. Ezekiel 37. Of course, it was a picture of Israel. Amen. They are dead bones. And then God said, preach to the bones. So the word of God applied to the condition of the bones will cause the bones to be restored. Then he said, preach to the wind. That's the Holy Spirit. You need the word of truth and the Holy Spirit to get the bones up. Can I get a witness? And so he talked about abundant mercy. He talks about, amen, being begotten again from the dead. Now check out some of these phrases before we move on, because he says, hath begotten us again. And that word again denotes the new birth. We were dead, doomed, amen, disobedient, hell-bound, but God gave us, listen, a new birth, regeneration. He has begotten us again, and the sinner comes to Christ. He has a new nature. He has a new desire. Amen. And there is newness. And this is why I don't care how desperate you get. Don't ever marry anybody that's unequally yoked with you. Their darkness, your light. They will never be sensitized to what you feel. They are worldly. Amen. They will never. And this matter of you bringing them to church don't mean a hill of beans. It's like taking me to a graveyard at night, sitting me down in a chair. It doesn't do anything. This whole matter of being equally yoked together with Jesus Christ. And you got to be careful, because people will put on a front. Yes. Well, I'll go to church with you. That's right. And I'll go to a program with you, but their heart has not been transformed. Amen. Are y'all getting this? Amen. So you got good-looking people that's going to hell. Good dressing people that's going to hell, good meaning people that's going to hell. And the fact of the matter is that what hurts is that you're pushing and pulling. They will never come over to the side of Christ to do those things that are pleasing in the sight, because they don't have the package on the inside. And we want them to have the package so bad. So bad. Well, come to church with me and Here, look at my Bible. It's like a dead man. Look, a dead man sitting up there. You know, or a man drunk sitting up there, and he figured, how long is the service? I don't know. Well, I'm going to get through this. This is dead as a doornail. And you trying to make him have life, or make her have life. Only God can give life. Can I get a witness? And so, child of God, when we begin to look at what Peter is talking about, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again, new birth, unto a lively or living hope. Now, this of course is eternal life. This hope is a confident optimism. Amen. It's a looking forward to a fulfillment of something that's about to take place inside of us. This is all a package. Living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so one of the things that we have to, let me say this to you. Thank God for my lovely wife. But when I was transitioning out of the world, going to Bible study, you know, in South and West Philly, and knowing that God was calling me to a whole different way of living, I was still dating people. And some of the people I was dating, I could see that their heart was not into the same thing my heart was into. It was obvious. And here's what they would do. You know, I'll go to Bible study with you. Wally, wally, boo. You know, I read the Bible with you. Their heart went in, and I could see it. So the next step was to break this thing off, because I'm wasting my time and I'm wasting their time. Yeah. If your heart ain't in it, I don't want you near me. I don't want to fool with this. You know, this ain't no Jehovah's Witness Bible study where we sitting down with blue and green books and going through stuff. No. Either you in or you out. Either you know him for yourself. Come on now, I'm preaching up in this place. either you know him for yourself or you don't know him. Now, why is it important for you to know him for yourself? Because stuff gonna get tough. And I can't lead you like a lamb in times of turmoil. You gotta know that you know that you know. You gotta know him. I had women come up to me in the past and say, you know, Pastor, I love the Lord and I love the church, I love you, but my husband won't let me tithe our money. I said, where is he? Put him in a metal chair, let him sit in the back. You know, and some of that is real. Some of that is real, that when people are not completely together, you run into all kinds of difficulties. You know, how long are you going to be in that class? Well, the class 30 minutes. Well, I'm tired of waiting. You know, in the name of Jesus. I done seen all this, where people are trying to make something work that God ain't in. Is this tight or white? Trying to make it work. So the fact of the matter is, the new birth, the living hope that God puts in us is a package, and verse 4, to an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled. Every last one of these words signifies something, and it will never fade away. It's a package that's waiting on you, reserved for you in heaven. That because of this package, Peter's saying, and Peter's taking a lot of time to explain this inheritance package, a package of life, righteousness, joy, peace, amen, a package. And so he gets to verse 5 and says, who, us, are kept, this is where I'm slowing up, it's part of the package. We're kept by the power of God through faith. Now, child of God, God keeps us even when we don't want to be kept. You let folk come up here with these testimonies, because they've got to give themselves some credit. No. We are kept by the power of God. We are kept by the power of God, which leads to part of our salvation. The reason I got to be transparent with you, because I ain't trying to get you to worship me. I'm trying to get you to worship him. And these pastors and bishops, they got a lot of them got a need for you to place them up there. I don't have that need. Dirty sinner saved by grace. God bless you. Now, I ain't got to tell you everything. Of course, you can imagine. But the fact of the matter is, my objective for preaching is to get you saved. My objective for preaching is to get you persuaded that God is able. From the guttermost to the uttermost. Can I get a witness? And so one of the things that Peter's saying is that we are kept. Now let's look at that word kept. We are maintained by the power of God. We're getting ready to have a drug conference on Saturday. Please come. Whole opioid, all this stuff that's going on. We're kept by God. Alcohol, we're kept by God. Perverted sex, we're kept by God. God is keeping us. And sometimes he's keeping us against our own will. Do I have a witness? He's keeping us. And the word kept means he's not allowing us to stray back, not allowing us to stray down, not allowing us to give up. We are kept. You better know where the power's coming from. Power's not coming from you. Power's not coming from me. The power is coming from the Holy Spirit. We are being kept by the power of God. And see, God wants us to be witnesses. You can't be a witness if you ain't kept. Can't do it. If I ask you to tithe, am I tithing? If I ask you to walk in sanctification, am I going home at night? You don't get quiet up in here now. If I ask you to treat your neighbor with love, am I treating mine with love? So it always boils back to where the power base is coming from. We are kept by the power of God through faith. Now don't miss the preposition through denotes that faith is the vehicle that God uses. We believe God, amen. We wait on God, we love God, but it's all through faith. None of us have seen Jesus. None of us had a third heaven experience like Paul. We didn't go to heaven. We didn't see things that we couldn't articulate. Everything that we believe is by faith. Can I get a witness? And he says, unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So Paul, and we've been here before, Paul deals with this matter of saving faith, growing faith, glorifying faith, amen, initial faith, increasing faith, and intimate faith. That those are the three channels we're growing in. So when I come up the aisle, or I ask Christ to come into my life, fully believing he died for all my sins, was buried and rose again, I could be by myself. Lord, I believe you died for my sins. Come into my life and save me. That's initial faith. But you can't stay there. You can't stay in the initial faith arena. You got to get in this word and grow into the increasing faith. And then as you grow into the increasing faith, you might be there 25, 30 years. Now it's time to move to the intimate faith. That's persuasion. That's that totally mature faith. You ain't walking by feelings, you want my faith. I used to listen to them old mothers of the church that have walked with God 50, 60 years. Ain't no doubt there's no question mark when they talk. They are persuaded. They've been to hell and back, but they're persuaded. They've walked with the Master. Amen. And so Peter is giving us this package. And I don't have time to go and through the package the way I want to, but God furnished me with a package, amen, through faith, that is a protection device. That is a protection device. And I can tell you this, listen to me. I can never go back into the world. Never go back to my sins of old. Never. Now, we can get weak, we can fall, but I can never go back. Why? Because now I got two natures. I'm operating on a different power base. Can I get a witness? Oh, y'all getting quiet up in here. That is, amen. Now, have I felt like going back? Yes. You hear what that mixed multitude told Moses? We missed the onions and the leeks and the melons of Egypt. You got us out here in the desert, looking at a cloud by day, pillar fire by night, and when we get thirsty, you got to speak to a rock. Manna, pancakes coming out of heaven, quail flying low so we can hit it and make our chicken for the night. I don't want to live by faith. Listen to what Pastor's saying. They didn't want to live by faith. Faith was costly. We want to see what we desire. We want to feel what we desire. We have to believe God for everything. And 40 years, they fell in the wilderness for lack of faith. God wanted them to live by faith. God wanted them to trust him for everything. And God wants us to trust him for everything. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. The hard thing about trust is that trusting takes out trying. Yeah. said, I tried to live this pornography alone, but I just get weak. That's your problem. You're trying. The word try means I'm using my flesh. I'm asking my flesh to overcome this stuff. But trusting means I'm asking him to overcome it. Lord, give me a trust of faith. Give me a trust to live by faith. Give me a trust to walk by faith. Give me a trust to be sustained by faith. There's a package here for the believer. And then in verse 6, he moves from the package to the proven, the pain. If you don't get anything tonight, get this. God has purpose in your pain. And it's not God's will to move all your pain. He's sovereign. We got to suffer. Suffering is just a part of this walk. Do I have a witness? Look what he says in verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Now let's try to interpret some of these words. The word season denotes short time. For a short time, you and I got to go through something. God determines the time. God determines to come out. For a short time, in other words, there's purpose in our pain. There's purpose. Every time we enter the pain arena, Satan wants you to give up. But every time we enter the pain arena, God says, I got purpose in this. You got to find a purpose. You got to pray about the purpose. James says in chapter 1, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, and see the context of James 1 is trials. If any of you want to know why you're going through all this fire, ask God, but ask in faith. Didn't he say that? Start praying about, Lord, why am I going through this? What's going on? And if you're praying in faith, God will reveal it to you. But there's purpose in our pain. That's the first thing we have to understand, that God has purpose in our pain, because there are several things that's going to come out of this pain and this thalipsis, this trouble, though now for a season, if need be, only if you need it, only if you need it. Now, I grew up different than most of y'all, and so my mother never grabbed a belt and said, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. She ain't never say that. She wasn't even worrying about what's going to hurt you. Are y'all getting this picture? If need be. And it's amazing how we changed on the spot when they pulled this belt out. I mean, I remember them episodes, and they weren't logical. But the first thing I noticed is there was communication. Wasn't it? I'm saying, no, mommy. I won't do it again. And she said, I know you won't do it again. If the family never communicated, we communicated when we got whipped. Oh, Lord. And it's amazing, after we got whatever chastening it was, we didn't even think about going back. Hebrews 12:5. Your fathers chastened you and you gave them credit. But they did it for their own profit. I'm doing it for your profit. Interesting. Let's stop, pause, and park on this matter of trouble. If need be, verse 6, you are in heaviness. That means the trouble is designed to make you heavy. It's not designed for you to start laughing. I mean, and I'm going, something wrong here, Doc. We got problems. Trouble is supposed to make you heavy. And it's designed to make you heavy for a reason. Now, I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about this crazy stuff. About heaven is through manifold temptations, trials. Now, let me give you five reasons regarding trouble. First thing, trouble does not last. Little while. It's not meant to last. So when we enter the arena of trouble, God is saying, I'm not going to let this stick around too long. But it's got to stick around long enough for you to learn from it. Are you understand what I'm saying? Trouble does not last, number one. Number two, trouble serves a purpose if need be. Only if you need it. Only if you need it. If need be. If need be. I would lie when I was in trouble. Most of us did. And I couldn't fool my parents. Guess I wasn't a good liar. Some of y'all habitual liars. You got this thing down pat. But it's like when I got caught, fear said, you got to get out of this stuff. Right? Little 12, 13-year-old girl, summertime. My mother just gave me a house key. She said, don't let nobody in my house. I mean, y'all know the rules. So I opened the door. I said, come on in. And we in there, and I hear my father, he always gassed his car to recharge it before he cut it off. So our son goes, some heart drop. I said, how am I going to get her out of here? Because they right in front of the door. They don't want the pen fruit and shop. So my mother walked in the door and said, what is she doing in here? And my mother and her mother grew up together. What is she doing here? I said, I was giving a glass of water. She said, you red-lipped liar. I had to think of something quick. It wasn't a glass nowhere. Why can't she go home and get water? I said, boy, I ain't too good with this lying stuff. But there's purpose. If need be, trouble, third, brings distress. Lord have mercy. And when you look at that verse, heaviness, it brings distress. Fourth, trouble comes in various forms. That is, trouble is not just designed to come one way. It can come a whole lot of different ways. And then fifth, trouble should not, Lord have mercy, amen, have the Christian lose their sense of joy. When you look at these verses, that the trial, verse 7, of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now here's what Peter's saying about this matter of the purpose for trials in our lives. God orders your steps. God orders your circumstances. God knows what we need more than we do. God allows some heat, some trials to come in, and the purpose is for us to look at ourselves. The purpose of your trials is not for you to look at somebody else. And that's what we do. The purpose is, all right, God, what are you saying to me? Yeah. What do you want me to do? It is a self-reflection. So when things start heating up, it's not for your wife, for your husband, your children. It starts with you. Purpose is, Lord, what are you saying to me? And it could not be, listen, it doesn't have to be perverted sex or one of those extremes. As Tanya said, it could be just an attitude you got. A legalistic attitude where you're looking down on others, but you refuse to look down on yourself. Purpose for the trials. Hard-headed. Defiant. Rebellious. Won't listen. Can't see yourself. When God sends trials and we don't get the purpose, the trials either stick around or they come back. Because God is trying to move us on and help us to see why he sent the trials. What are some of the trials that have come in your life that perhaps you didn't catch the definition right away? Anybody? Come on now. I know you had trials. What are some of the trials that have come into our life by the Spirit of God to conform us, transform us, to help us, that maybe we didn't catch the moment it came? Anybody? Anybody? Nobody. All church folk want to do is shout. Yes.
Humanness, I have the ability to do my own thinking.
All right, hold that point. Because when we think of chastening, we think we did something wrong. That's the first problem. What if God is chastening you to depend on him? Maybe we got this personality that's self-driven where I only take the big stuff to God. How about that? Some of us, amen, don't go or don't trust God with everything. We handle it. So we're not really depending on him for everything. And maybe he'll send trials to say, I want you to bring everything to me. Small, little, you know, whatever. So that thing of dependence is real. All right. Or we have the proclivity to live a deprived life. See, here's the thing about the Word of God. You can hear the Word of God every Sunday, but it's not being applied. You come in on Sunday and hear the Word, oh, that was a great Word, but the Word, it wasn't a rhema. It wasn't a fitted Word for you. It was just a Word. When I'm sitting under the Word or I'm in my devotions at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, here's what I'm saying. Lord, speak to my heart. What are you saying to me? I need to know that. It's personal. And the Lord might say, lighten up. He might identify something that I'm not so much doing wrong, I'm just doing. So God is getting to the intricals of how we process. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? So your point is great. Maybe I'm not totally dependent on him, but I profess that. What else? Yes. Yep. 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 Mm-hmm. Okay. We got you. Excellent. We got you. We got you. My paradigm is military. I was in there 7 years. But that doesn't always work over in the Christian realm. The military taught me a lot of discipline and the need for excellence. Get the job done at any cost. That's what it taught me. So, you know, when you're dealing with people, you gotta have mercy, you gotta be patient, you gotta put up with a lot of stuff that they didn't put up in the military with. So I gotta draw that line of demarcation. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? I want this church to be excellent. I want everything about the church excellent. I don't drop my standard. My standard is up here. If somebody falls lower the standard, we got to build them up to the standard. I ain't fooling with that. So that could be a conflict. You know what I mean? You come along, well, I'm trying. Get rid of them. Get them out of here. I ain't fooling. You know. And so I'm very demanding of myself. I drive myself to excellence. I want excellence. Well, you know, I pastor's hard. Pastor's loving. I ain't gonna let you interfere with the excellence. Now, we'll talk down here and pray down here. I'll hold your hand and hold your feet. Hold your wig and, you know, whatever else I gotta wear. But the bottom line is, I ain't messing this up. The Holy Spirit may come and say, no, be a little more affectionate, a little more loving, a little more this and a little more that. And it's adjustments, even in your marriage. Maybe too hard in your marriage on the other person. You understand? And God comes along and gives us these little shoves, so to speak. Are y'all getting this? Because believe it or not, we already got a rationale for the other person. But they just lazy. You understand? Or their priorities out of whack. You know, and what we got to do in relationships, especially marriages, is accept the person. That ain't easy. I'm talking about your mate. Accept them. And that's without question. I just got to accept the person they are. Well, some things about them you don't like. So you're struggling with the acceptance. Then you got to adapt. Adaptation. You got to adapt to it. Then you got to abide with them. Are y'all getting these A's before you try to abolish them? I needed another A. I'm sorry. I need another A. So the whole thing is, and it's all a struggle to adjust. Okay? It's all a struggle. I'm laughing at you for a reason. It's all a struggle to adjust. So I was kidding with Sister Gordon tonight. Her and I had some words a day and love her. It's my baby. We had some words a day, so I had to go to CVS to get my medicine. And I pulled up in the drive-thru, and this lady, she was a Muslim, had her hair down, and she said, "Oh, hi, Mr. Gordon." And I said, maybe I need to change my faith. maybe, salam alaikum, maybe I need to go this way. You know, we can laugh it off. But my point is, every day we're going to enter into the arena where we got to make adjustments. Amen. Let me tell you why these adjustments are so important. Because it teaches us fortitude and focus. If everything got to meet a predetermined puzzle of yours, we got problems. We got to maintain faith, focus, and fortitude every day there's got to be some kind of adjustments we got to make in life. Got to make them with our kids, got to make them with our mates, got to make them within ourselves. Okay, that's enough. My lips been poked out enough. Let me get over this. Let me. That's why I love Tyler. Yeah. Let me get over this. Let me move on. You sit there and keep feeling sorry for yourself, becoming a victim. You keep trying. You want everything outwardly to change so you feel better. That ain't the real world. That ain't the real world. Is it? That ain't the real world. Wherever you go, you got to make adjustments. Even that little line dancing y'all got, you know. Somebody said, Pastor, I wish I would go over there. Ain't no way. But it's great exercise. It's great fellowship. And the ladies love it. And the gentleman that's over there, they love it. That ain't for me. How many of y'all in the line dance thing? There's a lot of y'all over there. No, Rachel, don't do this. Put your hand up in there. Come on, baby, put your hand up. Now, don't y'all enjoy it? Yeah, it's good. And what time do y'all do that anyway? Darlene, what time do you do that? Good. Darlene, we love you. We love you. I was playing pinochle with Darlene. Partners. Oh, God. Two straight hands. She miscounted her cards. Oh, I have one card and you have three. I said, get out of here. I ain't fooling you. She called the board. She messed it up. She finally got her heads. I said, how can somebody mess up a hand twice in a row? So I start thinking, maybe this was a plan. We got to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, listen to me. Here's what Peter's saying. God has given us a package. God is going to let some pain come in to perfect our faith. And through it all, in perfecting our faith, we're going to walk away victoriously. Because the pain had purpose. Are y'all getting this? The package has purpose. And the perseverance has purpose. He wants us to learn to persevere through pain. And when we persevere, been there, done that. I'm a witness that God, the Holy Spirit, works. I'm a witness. And so one of the things we want to stress to you is that, excuse me, God has a process for perfecting our faith. And that's what he's working on, our faith. So you don't throw your faith in, you don't douse your faith out. You don't give up. You learn to walk by faith, live by faith, stay in faith, believe by faith. And that faith has to be tested. It's got to be tested. God determines when it's going to be tested. Look at the characters of the Bible. From Genesis 37 to Genesis 50, Joseph. He went through a whole lot. I know Dr. Babb and them asked me to preach at graduation exercises. All the board of trustees were up there. I was nervous. And I preached from Genesis 50. And it's a question. Am I not in the place of God? It's not a statement, it's a question. Joseph was asking his brothers, everything I've gone through, am I not in the place of God? And the answer is yes. But he had to go through a lot of pain. His brothers threw him in the ditch. Remember, sold him into Egypt. Potiphar's wife lied on him, threw him in prison 2 years with the butler and the baker. He went through a whole lot of stuff. But when God brought him out and made him second in charge, then did he see purpose. Am I not? And the same ones that threw him in the ditch had to come back to him. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Can't nobody else hurt you when you're in the hands of God? They can't hurt you when you're in the hands of God. God's got your back. God's got your front. God's got your side. Am I not in the place of God? And I want you to be encouraged with that when trouble comes. There's some adjustments we got to make. Don't give up. Don't fall out. I'm going to leave the church. You ain't going to do nothing but join another church full of sinners. That's all you're going to do. Well, praise God. We're glad you're here. Just keep looking at your watch. We are faulty creatures, faulty natures. And here's what God is working on, that faith. That faith. He gives us a package. He allows some pain. And through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Can you look at your pain and start a praise session? If you can't look at your pain and start a praise session, the pain was not learned. You got to look at your pain and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the mountains. Thank you for the valleys. Thank you for the things you brought me. Lord, thank you, Jesus. The pain in my children, the pain in my life, the pain in my marriage, the pain in my money, the pain in my health. Amen. We gotta look at the end result. Oh yeah, there was a package, there was some pain, there was some passing times, but look where God has brought you from. Look at yourself tonight. Look what the Lord has done in your life. Look! He has made you a new creature in Christ. Old things are passing away, all things have become new. You're stronger now than you were 3 years ago. You're stronger now than you were 20 years ago. You're a better person than you was 5 years ago. The Lord has taken up residence and He has given you power. Let's stay on our feet tonight. Does anybody here wants to give their life to Jesus? Just raise your hand. Is there one? Or join the church and Christian experience? Is there one? Praise Jesus. Come on. Come on, brother. Come on, brother. Praise the Lord. Thank you, man. Well, we got to go. What are you, a chef?
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, good. Oh, he's a chef. He's a chef. You know how to ball egg? Yeah. All right, man. Praise God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this soul. Thank you for this lesson tonight, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. Help us to search out the purpose for our pain, and may we end up with praise for everything we go through. In Jesus' name, amen.